This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Happy Being Alive Day, the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, 22 minutes past the hour. More trash is coming your way at DA on CBS on Twitter. Also watch us on Twitch, on YouTube, and at watchda.com. Those are all mobile friendly. You can watch our next guest on the simulcast. Former NBA executive and first-round draft pick, now a member of the Stadium Sports team, NBA front office analyst. Joining us this morning on the show is Pat Garrity. Pat, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Damon. Good to be with you.
You too. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to start with Ja, then we'll get into the conference finals. If you were the GM of the Grizzlies, how much do you lean on the NBA, the league office, to dictate what you have to do with Ja?
Well, I don't think you really have much of a choice. I think this has risen to the level with the past incidents where this is in the league office's hands right now. They're going to be the ones adjudicating this. I think that they did the right thing right away, which was to announce that they had suspended him from all team activities, which at this time of year doesn't mean a whole lot. But I think that, you know, just being proactive was a good sign. But it's really out of their hands. This is going to be, in my opinion, probably a pretty lengthy suspension, and I would imagine that the union would appeal because of the harshness of the penalty that's going to go down. It's going to go to arbitration, and I think this is going to be a long, drawn-out process.
Less than half a season that he gets suspended?
I think so. And, you know, and I went back and I looked at the longest suspensions in the NBA, and the reason, you know, outside of kind of the concern that you have for Ja, why this is an interesting case is all of the previous long suspensions came either from on the court violence, performance enhancing drug, which are banned by the CBA, or something involving breaking the law off the court. And this is a case where it doesn't fall into really any of those categories. The 8-game suspension that Ja had earlier in the season wasn't fought by him, wasn't fought by the union. And so I think you're looking at something probably in the at least the 20 to 25. And to me, it's going to be really interesting how the union reacts to this. The union is there to fight for the rights of players. And when the Ron Artest incident happened, the union was right there fighting against that, trying to go to arbitration to minimize some of the suspensions. It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out this time around with this particular incident.
Tonight in the NBA draft lottery, Victor Wembanyama is going to become the number one pick overall. We just decide tonight who's going to get that number one pick. What type of prospect is he? What type of franchise changer can he be?
Well, a lot of draft prognosticators, and this is about the time that I start watching draft prospects, so there's probably better people than me to talk about him. But by all accounts, he's one of the best prospects to come into the NBA since LeBron James. And he's a player that I don't think that you really have much of a comparison for. I think maybe Porzingis is the only one when you combine the size and the skill. And if you remember what Porzingis was like his first couple of years with the Knicks before the injuries, I mean, he looked like he was potentially gonna be a perennial All-NBA type of player. And so I think that Wembanyama can have the same immediate type of impact on the offensive end with any young players. It's going to take them a long time defensively. But we could be looking at, you know, someone who's going to be the new face of the NBA for the next 20 years to come.
Former NBA executive Pat Garrity is our guest this morning here on the show. Turning our attention to the games themselves, we look at tonight, Game 1, Western Conference Finals, Lakers and Nuggets. I think the Nuggets have snuck up on some people with how good they actually are. I think in the regular season, a lot of people didn't watch them, or we just assumed that they would flame out in the postseason again. Why shouldn't we be surprised that the Nuggets are this far?
Well, number one, they have the guy that I think you could have made an argument for that could have been a three-time MVP in the NBA. I think that the reason I think I'm a little surprised, and maybe people watching and who watch the Nuggets are a little surprised, is just how good they've been on the defensive end of the floor. I don't think anyone is surprised that they're leading the NBA playoffs in offense. But what they've been able to do defensively, particularly in the last couple rounds of the playoffs, I think has been impressive, which is to drop Jokic off. They protect the paint pretty well. The other guys are really on a string, and they can put lineups on the floor that can defend the perimeter well, even though historically Jokic has been a guy that you don't want out on the perimeter guarding pick and roll, getting in switches. They're much more comfortable dropping him off. So to me, that's been the most impressive thing that they've been able to do. And I think in this matchup against the Lakers, I think it plays into their favor because the Lakers aren't a great perimeter shooting team. What they are is that they're a team that attacks the paint. They attack the glass. So to me, of all the matchups that Denver could have had, this one probably is the most favorable.
Where do the Lakers have an advantage?
I think in a couple areas. I think number one, I want to know who is going to guard LeBron James. And you could see during the regular season, LeBron doesn't attack the rim and the paint, or maybe he selectively does that. But in the playoffs, I mean, he has been bullying guys in the post. And so I think getting him on the elbow, getting him in the mid post, not only to draw double teams, but if they're going to guard him one-on-one, just bullying whoever that defender is, it's probably going to be Aaron Gordon, who has good size. And so that's number one. I also think Austin Reeves as a pick and roll ball handler. I think he's a guy of all those guys that they put in pick and roll can really be effective in the mid range. And so I would think that would be another area where they're going to go to quite a bit.
So when it comes to this Lakers run since, let's say, February or March, where they've really turned it on, do you think that has more to do with AD simply being healthy or the trade deadline deals that help create a little bit of depth for this roster?
Well, I think number one, I think that you can't underestimate the chemistry impact that Russell Westbrook going somewhere else had. And this isn't to put the blame on Russell Westbrook, but I think it's clear that the chemistry in that locker room wasn't great. And so I think that of anything probably had as big of an impact of everything else. But I think your point on Anthony Davis is right. Look, he is a guy that was not even mentioned, and a lot of it had to do with games played on either all defensive team this year. And I think you could make an argument that he has been by far the most dominant defensive player in the playoffs right now. And so I think him healthy, him playing at that level, particularly on the defensive end, is why they're in the position they are now. And if you look at the numbers through the first two rounds of the playoffs, they're the number one defensive team in the playoffs.
Pat Garrity joins us, former NBA executive, now working for Stadium Sports. In the Eastern Conference Final, kind of the conventional wisdom is that the Celtics are far deeper, have a far more talented roster than the Heat. Would you agree?
No question.
Okay, where do they have a significant advantage roster-wise?
Well, I think when you look at the first couple guys off the bench, and I don't know if they're going to go back to their traditional starting lineup, but when you're talking about bringing Malcolm Brogdon in, you know, Grant Williams hasn't played a lot. He's fallen off a little bit. But, you know, Derek White flexing in and out of the lineup, Robert Williams, I think that those three guys maybe provide them maybe with a little bit more depth. But I think that when you look at the starting lineups, I think that's really where the advantage lies.
So with the Heat, Does it just take Jimmy Butler to go crazy for them to have a chance in this series, or is there another recipe for success for Miami?
No, there's absolutely another recipe. So I think number one, they're not going to be able to compete if he doesn't continue playing at the level offensively that he has been, just because that they've been a team that traditionally struggles scoring in the half court. But look what they do defensively. Like, Eric Spoelstra to me is a master in these types of situations this time of year. They're going to mix in a ton of zone. They're going to mix in a ton of defensive wrinkles. They're going to be unpredictable on the defensive end. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if this turns into a case where Miami wins one of the first two games on the road. And then Boston is looking at a game three going to Miami. And if you get down 2-1, all of a sudden, we've seen with this Boston thing, things can tighten up. The ball can start sticking. Guys can stop moving, and they stagnate on the offensive end of the floor. So, look, I think that this is a series when you compare the teams. Boston should win in 5 or 6 games. But the reason I don't underestimate the Heat is just because of number one, how tough and committed they are on the defensive end, and the coaching and schemes and the defenses that Eric Spoelstra can throw out there.
Pat Garrity joins us this morning on the show, formerly an NBA executive, now an NBA front office analyst for Stadium Sports, joining us this morning on the show. Pat, always good to catch up, man. Thanks so much. Enjoy the playoffs.
You bet, D.A. Great being with you, man.
You too. Thank you. Pat Garrity, our guest this morning on the show. Excellent.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.